runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 435, Surface Power Management with guest Joao Botto. Recorded Tuesday, August 18th, 2015. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is Joao Botto. And Joao is the program manager for Microsoft Surface. His team makes sure the new devices are ready for commercial and enterprise markets, and they continue to add useful features to the entire product line. Surface has gone through a lot, but I got to tell you, the three, I got one when I was at Build, and when I got home, my youngest daughter took it. I've never seen it again.
It's a brand new product, and actually the Surface 3 was the first product that I worked on when I joined this organization.
I'm going to congratulate you then. It was all you. You made the Surface 3 perfect. Figuring out what the tablet's really about, I think it's an interesting conversation just of, you know, what do they use it for? That's why I keep putting it in the hands of the 20-somethings in my household, is to watch how they interact with it.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that I think marketing, for the first time, they really nailed it right. So Surface is really the tablet that can replace your laptop.
Right.
When you think about it, it's since I've had one, and since my wife had one, and since my friends had one, all of them stopped using their laptops, literally. Laptops are still quite convenient for some heavy-duty stuff when I need to run a lot of VMs, but for that, I'm probably going to use my desktop.
Right.
And Surface is good for everything else. All my work, even running one or two VMs, all of that works perfectly. Video editing, I do all that on my Surface.
No kidding.
Yeah.
My older daughter has a Pro, and she uses it. She draws a webcomic. And so the pressure sensitive pen and stuff in the Pro works for her. That for the art person, that's a big deal. I didn't think it was important at all, and it never did anything for me. But for her, it's like, oh no, I can use this to really draw.
Yeah, the pen is the hero feature, and it's not only for art students and people that really work in an artistic way. It's just for everyone. Even if you open OneNote and you take notes, like handwritten notes, it's so convenient. Even with my terrible handwriting, OneNote can really recognize my handwriting most of the time and convert that into text. It's really quite clever.
But I think we're speaking to a very personal aspect of the Surface so far. When we think about Surface in the enterprise, I mean, are you seeing customers now? That's the device that the enterprise provides to their users, to the employees?
There's a lot of customers adopting it in the enterprises. In the enterprise space, what I see is that a lot of people go from meeting to meeting all the time, all day long. And what's interesting about that is that they used to have one laptop and one iPad. The right. iPad is more for when they travel, for when they go to a quick meeting, just to have the ability to take some notes and to do some web browsing when needed. Now, what I'm seeing is a big switch to manage devices, so to something that they can manage, and that's very frequently a Surface device. So the Surface device, they can use it as a laptop, they dock it when they get to their desk, they can use three screens with that device if they want to. It's a really powerful device, but then they can take it to a meeting and they can use it exactly as a tablet. It's not too heavy. It's not too big. It's just the right size so that you can use it. And now we have two sizes, right? We have the Surface Pro 3. It's our current device, our current hero device. And then we have the Surface 3, the little brother, that works for people that need a little bit more mobility. It has LTE. It has a lot of different capabilities. It's also a little bit lower powered. So the power is not as as beefy as the one in Surface Pro 3, but it's really interesting.
But it's enough for the, you know, the routine stuff we do every day of email and web surfing and just being able to have access to core information. It's fine for that.
It's my main device right now, actually.
Really?
It's, yeah, like I said, I was the one of the program managers in that team when we launched it. And the interesting thing about it is that I have it on my desk. I can connect it to the docking station. I have it connected to a big external screen. So I can do everything that I would do with a laptop. It's great for office. It's great for email. I just don't use it when I need to run some big, heavy VMs and video processing or something like that.
For me, it's when you want to run studio, like do serious software development. I need more horsepower than even a pro is a struggle, but that's a screen size issue. I need more screen space, but it depends on the particular project. I don't know that I would run Sony Vegas or, you know, Premiere Pro or any of those things in that. They're big horsepower apps. They'll eat up every CPU cycle you can lay your hands on.
It's perfectly fine on the Surface Pro 3.
Yeah.
Actually, on the Pro line, there's a lot of people using Sony Vegas on that one.
Maybe I'm just a screen snob. I, you know, even when we're recording today, my recording machine is like 4960 by 1600 worth of triple display because I just can't get enough screen space. So the correct amount of screen space is more.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you on that one. I have two 24-inch screens right in front of me, yep, plus the Surface screen.
That's what I love. There's lots and lots of screen space. All right, so when you say managed device, right, we're talking about enterprises running Surfaces. Are you talking domain join? Is that the basic measure of a managed device?
That can be. Right now, there's also a lot of bring-your-own-device in some companies. Yep. Just having a managed device doesn't really mean that what you're doing is joining it to a domain, right, or installing clients or
applying
anything
group
like
policy
that.
That kind of thing.
Exactly. You can manage it either like a phone, so you can apply policies, you can just do MDM and manage it that way. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that you can do with MDM nowadays, or you can go the other route, more old school, and you can install, you can join your device to the domain and install System Center Configuration Manager,
right,
or any other tools that you use to manage devices in your organization.
And maybe I'm just an old school guy and have old school listeners that were, yeah, when I hear managed, I think domain join group policy, which means I'm probably handing out pros, right?
Actually, a big change is that we used to have the Pro line, Surface Pro, Surface Pro 2, Surface, yep, Pro 3. They were all running Intel chipsets and you could install whatever you wanted.
Yep.
And then the other line was Surface RT, Surface 2. All of those were running Windows RT. Mm-hmm. That was more of a lockdown operating system where you couldn't install any software that didn't come from the Microsoft store.
Right.
With Surface 3, that's along the lines of Surface RT and Surface 2. So it's a smaller device, more for portable purposes and for light work. And what you see there is that device now has an Intel processor as,
right,
well. So because of that, you can also manage it in the traditional way. You can domain join it. You can install your enterprise SKU if you want. You can do whatever you do with your regular laptop.
But I feel like Intel suddenly took, maybe it's because Microsoft went ARM on those RT devices, and suddenly Intel got serious about reducing the power footprint, reducing the, you know, consumption and so forth. It, you know, here you are just a few years later with the lightweight device, but it's running the Intel chipset. So we have everything.
That's correct. The newest Cherry Trail chipsets that we include in this device, this was the first device that launched with Intel Cherry Trail system on a chip. They're so, so low power. We can get 10 hours of battery life with this device if you're using it in normal workday, replying to email, web browsing, and you can still get a full workday out of this device.
And that's what we're looking for, right? I mean, something you can carry around all day, not worry about being tethered to anything. And at the end of the day, plug it in. It'll be ready for tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Love it. So what about the power management side of this? Because when I think about power management from an enterprise perspective, it's making sure that machines go into suspend mode overnight, right? When I was running a shop and owned all these desktops are my responsibility, I could save a lot of power if I had group policies that shut them down at night, only fired them up for patches and things like that. How does that even apply to a tablet?
Power management's actually changed quite a bit. So with these devices, with Surface Pro 3, we introduced a feature that in the past only existed in ARM devices, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So it existed on phones, it existed on Surface RT and Surface 2, but it was never brought up to an Intel-powered device with a device with an Intel processor.
Right.
And what you would see is a feature that is called Connected Standby. If you think about your phone is still receiving emails even when your screen is off. So the phone is kind of sleeping. It's in standby.
Yep.
But it's not the traditional S3 that you see on most of your devices.
Right. The full power down.
Exactly. S3 is that sleep mode where you turn off pretty much everything except the memory.
Yep.
So you keep refreshing the memory so that the data that is there is still alive and you can resume very quickly. With connected standby, you need every single component inside of your device to be connected standby capable. And so what happens is that your device is capable of waking up on certain events. And once in a while, it does wake up to see what's going on and to see if there's any activity to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays, all of our Surface line, Surface, I mean, not the Pro line, is doing connected standby. And the Surface Pro 3 is also doing connected standby. So that means, for instance, that if you have a Skype modern application, like the universal application for Windows, if you receive a Skype call, even though your device is in sleep, it can wake up for you to pick up that Skype call. So it's a feature that is very useful for some of the capabilities. Also, for instance, if a company needs to push out updates, patches to your device, it doesn't need to use wake on LAN because
right.
Occasionally your device will wake up and see if there are any updates that are needed.
And the way you're phrasing this, Joel, sounds like I push a message out to this device and periodically it checks to see if there's messages for me and then lights up. It's not like the moment I fire it, it immediately responds.
It's a mix of both, actually.
Okay.
So what happens is that all the universal applications, so the new applications that come from the store,
mm-hmm.
are capable of using this new connected standby capabilities. So those applications, for instance, if you have your email client set up as one of those universal applications, what can happen is your email client is synchronizing in the background. And when you turn on your device, not only it's instant on, but also your email is already there.
Right.
So same thing for, let's say, Facebook status updates or any calendar changes, anything that you may use for work and fun. All of those things are up to date, but only for those modern applications, for those universal applications, because they have very strict power requirements.
So, I mean, from an enterprise perspective, then I care about the updates because obviously the OS obeys. And if I've got Office playing ball with this, like I'm 99% of the way there. Like as long as email, maybe a couple of messaging apps, there's not a whole lot that I'm going to worry beyond that. Or are people caring about more apps than that for that real-time responsiveness?
Not really. Those are the biggest ones.
Right.
But there are applications that people use, like to-do lists.
Yeah.
People download Wunderlist or
CRM product.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like all of those applications can still synchronize. The interesting thing about connected standby is that since we cannot control what the Windows 32 applications, so the traditional applications that live in your desktop do, since we cannot control that as tightly as we can control the universal applications, those desktop applications are not making any use of connected standby.
Right.
So connected standby doesn't give any time to those applications. It's only for the universal applications and for some Windows services like Windows Update that we just mentioned.
All right. I mean, this makes a lot of sense to me. And I'm also thinking, not, you know, I was always thinking about this from being an IT manager's perspective of managing desktops to reduce power consumption for my organization as a whole. But when you look closer in, this is about keeping battery life alive.
Correct. So another interesting thing is that this device, since it was designed for connected standby, every single component inside of the device, so the processor, the Wi-Fi adapter, like the buses inside of the device, everything must be capable of doing connected standby. And not all devices can do that. Actually, it's quite rare when you find devices out there that can do that. There's devices from other manufacturers that do this as well, but not all of them. And so something interesting is that the power management is handled by the SoC, by the processor, by the system on a chip. So that's what takes care of all the power management. And because of that, we've excluded some traditional power options from the UI. That caused some confusion, to be honest. For commercial customers that are the customers that I deal with the most often, sometimes they try to push the power policies that they've always used for all of their laptops. Some of them are trying to optimize the NIC. Some of them are trying to turn off the display at a different time that they put the device to sleep. All of those things are not made for connected standby.
Right.
So, for instance, in connected standby, when the screen is off, it's when the device is in sleep mode, in standby mode, just like a phone. So, because of that, some people were putting that power policy to say, let's turn off the screen. And instead of just the screen going off, the device was actually entering sleep.
Going into
S3. So that was
S3.
Quite confusing at first.
Yeah. No, I understand that. And I mean, part of this is just understanding what consumes power on this device, right? And I blame the screen most of the time as the biggest power consumer on a device. But antennas are a close second. You know, keeping your network alive is not cheap from a power perspective.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That's why the network isn't really alive all the time. What happens is that the network is also sleeping, but the NIC is capable of receiving certain packets and some instructions from the SoC. So it receives information from both sides. And what happens is that the SoC has some timers that say, let's turn off or turn on certain parts of the NIC and not the entire network card and not the entire network subsystem.
Hmm.
So that's really interesting that the network cards that are designed for connected standby, they can now handle some things that in the past were only capable, could only be handled by the computer itself, by Windows, by the processor.
I mean, I'm a hardware geek, so I want to dig into the meat of how the heck you're pulling this off. I don't know that it's particularly relevant to the listener, and I should probably pay the bills, actually. So give me one moment there to say that Run As Radio is brought to you by ScriptRock, the makers of Guardrail and the fighters of Configuration Drift. Configuration Drift happens in every environment from 5 nodes to 5,000. Guardrail will find and scan the configs of every node in your environment, no matter the platform, and alert you to changes happening across machines. Give it a try for 3 months free with the coupon code RUNASRADIO, all one word, at ScriptRock.com/RUNASRADIO. Now, I know enough about Wi-Fi to know, you know, you don't want to renegotiate the connection to the access point. That's a lot of chatter. So I guess you've got to sort of keep alive enough to hang on to your keys, but you don't want to keep connected to the AP necessarily because that consumes a lot of power. So is it just sort of a cycle that every so often you light up and continue your conversation?
You actually keep the connection cached. So you don't really need to keep it alive. So Windows has tried to do that for quite some time, like at least since Windows 8, not Windows 8.1, even further back in Windows 8 in the beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is it keeps a cache of the latest connection that it has established. And now what we've managed to do is send that cache through and keep that cache directly in the NIC. So the NIC, even though it's not connected, it knows when it wakes up, where does it need to go?
Right.
And once again, connected standby, those bursts, those connections are really, really quick. Some of them are like 2 seconds every half an hour.
Right.
Depending on the applications, depending on how things are prioritized on your system, and Windows will handle all of that for you. But some applications will get as little as 1 second every hour. Some other applications will get something like 2 seconds every 15 minutes. But still, it's very, very little. And you don't wake up the entire system. You don't turn on the screen. You don't do most of those things that consume a lot of power. You just do just enough so that you can update your applications, update everything, and make sure that your system is ready to go.
So when I'm passing on a message saying I need to update these devices, right, whatever tool I happen to be using, maybe it's the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, I mean, doesn't matter. I'm not automatically sending those messages over and over again. I guess to a certain degree, I am. Are you counting on that somewhere in that periodic 1 second every half hour wake up, you happen to see that message going by? Or is there some mechanism to cache it when it happens? Like, how do you know you're going to get that update message?
So, like I mentioned, only the universal apps
right.
and some Windows services are capable of making use of connected standby.
Right.
And what happens with those is that all universal apps, the pipe that controls the flow of information, the download and upload of information between those applications, that pipe is actually controlled by Windows.
Okay.
So Windows can decide, when that data goes through, when it flows like a dam, it can say when the flood is open and when it's closed. And for the services as well. So Windows controls it all. You don't have to have your applications written so that they can control that.
Interesting. So, but it does mean that there's something on all the time listening to the network, just with a minimum amount of power consumption, and sort of triaging what messages should I respond to.
It's implemented by timers.
Okay.
So it's even cleverer than that. So there's not something that is listening all the time. There's something that wakes up periodically and that checks if there's anything new to be updated. And then another interesting thing is that for Windows 10, we tried to broaden the horizons mm-hmm. and try to get this to as many devices as we could. And so since most of the NICs are not prepared, the network cards, they're not prepared for connected standby in third-party devices. What Microsoft and Windows has done is that they've designed a new component that is disconnected standby.
Mm-hmm.
So the device will still be able to process some data periodically. Let's say, for instance, if you have your alarm clock and you've set your alarm clock as a modern application, and that's supposed to wake you up. So Windows is ready to let the alarm clock wake you up, but without all the applications that can flow through the network because your NIC is not capable of that.
Right.
So now we make that connected standby or a small portion of that connected standby available to all devices out there. And that is called disconnected standby. So there's an umbrella name for the two of them
right.
that they call modern standby. So this is so much more efficient than the traditional S3 sleep.
Yeah.
And it can do so much more that now we have connected standby and disconnected standby. And if you want to save some extra power, what Surface has done is for Windows 10, our devices are already capable of doing disconnected standby. So if you're an enterprise customer and you say, well, I don't really care about data flowing through my network every few minutes or every few hours, what I want to do is I want this device to be as silent as possible and to keep as much of the battery that it has left as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So then it enters, you can choose to make your device enter disconnected standby instead of connected standby.
And that's the maximum power savings you could have. Then you're consuming as little as possible.
That's a lot better than connected standby. The maximum that you can get is always when your device is in hibernation. Because
right.
hibernation, you don't have to keep anything alive.
No, you've written your memory out to disk and you're cold. You're shut completely
exactly.
down.
Exactly. Exactly. So even on our devices, they consume very, very little power. So Surface Pro 3, it consumes about 1%. When it's in connected standby, it consumes about 1% of your battery life per hour.
Wow.
So that's next to nothing.
Yeah.
But if you account for a Friday night where you just close your device, go home, and then you come back on Monday. So if you don't use your device over the weekend, 50% of your battery would be gone.
Right.
So what we've implemented is the capability of, and that's what Surfaces do by default. So if you have your device and if you close it and if you don't touch that device for 4 hours, at that time we assume that you're sleeping, you're at the bar, having a happy hour, anything. anything but work, at least. So what we do is we put your device automatically into hibernation.
But which means it actually needs to power up, write to disk, and then shut all the way down.
We manage to do it in a way that the device mostly powers up, but it doesn't have to power up every subsystem inside of it. For instance, the screen never goes on,
right,
and several components of the device never go on. Like, for instance, the NIC, it doesn't really have to go on if you're just writing from memory to disk. So it's very efficient. And what we do is after 4 hours of sleep, the device enters hibernation.
Right.
This is something that some commercial or some enterprise customers have been missing because they create their own images. Mm-hmm. And we do have guidance online on how to bring back that hibernation after 4 hours of sleep. But some customers haven't come across that data. And because of that, they deploy their custom images and they see that their devices don't go to hibernation after those 4 hours of sleep. On Windows 8.1, it was a bunch of power CFG commands that you had to execute. Of course, we have that supplied as a batch file that you could just execute as part of your task sequence or as part of your image deployment. For Windows 10, it's even easier because on Windows 10, on the UI, you can go there and you can set how much time does it go before your device enters hibernation.
Nice.
And that's valid for connected and disconnected standby devices. So you can say my device enters hibernation after 1 hour of sleep, or my device enters hibernation only after 8 hours of sleep. So you can pick and choose whatever value suits you best as a company.
You know, I'm thinking about this and thinking, you know, we have all these modes for coming back up quickly, but cold restart on modern machines is so fast anyway. I mean, it's just a couple of seconds. It's almost not that big a deal anymore.
Yeah, Eufy has made a lot of changes there. Eufy has made it possible to boot your machines much faster. And Windows has also made some changes. That's in most of the cases, Windows is... I hate to be using this word, but it's Windows is lying to you.
You're not really up and running. I've seen that, right?
No. It's the opposite way. It's when you shut down your device, you go to
really
the power button and you press power off.
Yeah.
When you press the shutdown button, actually Windows isn't shutting down. Windows 8 is not shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
Windows 8 is actually logging the user off. So shutting down the user portion, the user mode of Windows.
Right.
And then it's hibernating the kernel because the kernel is so stable nowadays that you don't really need to restart the kernel very often.
Right.
What you want to refresh once in a while is the user portion of Windows.
Yeah, because that's where all the software is running, where trouble can actually happen.
Exactly. Exactly. So what you do is you log off the user. So you'll have a fresh start of the user portion and you hibernate the kernel. So when you boot back your machine, the kernel is just coming back from hibernation,
right.
So it's extremely fast to get to the Windows logon screen.
And it doesn't matter how dead the battery is or you unplugged or anything, because that hibernation means that state of the kernel was stored on disk.
Absolutely.
It's always going to come back.
Yeah. And by the way, just to give you another glimpse into connected standby and disconnected standby, one of the policies is that all of our devices that are connected standby capable, they're encrypted by default. So when you grab a Surface Pro 3 or when you deploy your custom image to your Surface Pro 3, the device will automatically encrypt. So the disk will be fully encrypted. If you don't go to the UI or to the command line and turn on BitLocker, what's going to happen is that your device is not going to lock itself down.
Right.
It's not going to have a protector, like we call it, for the encryption. But it's still, the disk is encrypted. The disk is protected. So if you're in connected standby, no one can steal your information.
Nice. Yeah. This is all these little complications from these various states that we operate in. So, and if I understand you correctly, I mean, the advantage of Surface is because you guys had control of all the hardware, you've made sure that all those pieces are compliant with the disconnected and connected standby options. But this should work on any machine given sufficiently modern hardware and drivers.
Disconnected standby will work on pretty much every machine.
Okay.
When we talk about connected standby, it's a little bit more complicated. Like I said, the NIC has to be specific for connected standby, and some additional components must be specific for connected standby. So not every hardware will support connected standby. There are devices from a lot of manufacturers supporting connected standby. But disconnected standby should be available for every device on Windows 10.
But I got to think, give it another year or two, like naturally this will get incorporated into the hardware and device driver chain, and it'll become the norm.
I would believe so. As the prices go down, right now the components that are ready for connected standby are still a bit more expensive than the components for regular sleep for most of the devices. But my understanding is that as the prices go down, more manufacturers will start to adopt connected standby as well.
That's just a matter of time. Like that's what it feels like. And it speaks to me in this idea that one of the reasons for Microsoft making the Surface device is to create this sort of exemplar of here's what we can do with all of these things. If you get it, you know, if you think about what you just described here from UEFI instead of BIOS through the hardware configuration, its device drivers, the operating system and the app itself, we're now controlling the power requirements end to end.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Surface is really a showcase of what Microsoft has been doing. Mm-hmm. When you look at Surface, it's a showcase for Windows, and Windows is a showcase for Surface. So right now we're trying to get the best of both worlds in front of all of our users.
But I also really like this idea from the app model that now my application itself can provide a manifest essentially of how it would need to consume power and request notifications, so that the operating system and the hardware as a result can behave with the app more effectively. It's a really interesting aspect of modern development.
Absolutely. And Windows is on the other side. Windows is kind of the policeman that is controlling those applications. Windows is making sure that those applications don't consume too much power, that those applications don't misbehave, that those applications are really locked down and they cannot put malware into Windows or cause any kind of harm to the user privacy or any other kind of malicious intent.
And that's always been Windows' responsibility, going all the way back to the general protection default. I mean, that was the OS saying, this piece of software has misbehaved. You've just increased the scope of the responsibility of the operating system for good behaved software.
Absolutely.
It's really cool, Joel. I'm excited about this because it's getting us to start thinking about what this new hardware is really about. Because there's no longer, we don't care about CPU cycles and even RAM and stuff all that much. We have sufficient. It's more about how do I really keep this machine alive for a long time in terms of when it needs to be charged and still give all the features that people want about, yes, that notification's come in. Yes, those updates have been applied. Like, that's a really interesting, more advanced solution to the problems we've had for decades.
Absolutely. I really agree with that. What we're trying to do is make users the most productive that they can be. And for that, one of the things that they require is to have a battery life that allows them to use their device without any cords attached for most of the day, at least.
I love it. Joel, thanks so much for talking to me. This has been really enlightening to understand what's possible here.
Thank you for the time, Richard.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.